Which brings us to agenda item number 9, public hearing related to staking of oyster planting grounds and aquaculture structures.
I will try to speak louder.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. I appreciate that.
It's just not in my nature.
I know, but
I'm a soft talker. What I'd like to do is present both regulations at the same time, and afterwards, since they're so interrelated between staking and staking of the work area and the staking of the lease, that just seems more appropriate.
I agree.
And then, obviously, you'd have to vote on the regulations separately. The first regulation is 20-290. This is the commission proposes to amend 4 VAC 20-290 to better define marking requirements for oyster ground leases and to define active work areas within oyster planting ground leases and the marking requirements in such areas. With the increased use of aquaculture structures on oyster leases and multi-use conflicts associated with the use and marking of oyster ground leases, it has become apparent that some revisions and clarifications are needed for the marking regulations. During the last session of the General Assembly, legislation was introduced that would have limited the use of PVC pipes for marking of leases. No action was taken on this legislation. However, in response to Chairman of the Senate Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources requested the Commission evaluate marking requirements for leases and report back to the commission to the committee before the next session. Furthermore, the industry has requested or has made suggestions that they need some type of signage for agriculture sites to alert boaters to the presence of structures that may propose a hazard to the present danger of nets and cages and their product. Based on input and review of the marking regulations by the Shellfish Management Task Force, the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee, and our Regulatory Review Committee, staff amended the existing marking and aquaculture regulations. Staff determined that defining active work areas and aquaculture structures, lease boundary lines, and lease corners would be beneficial. Additionally, a better description of the type, size, and heights of substructures is needed. Since much of the aquaculture structure placement activity is within a shallow water, staff believes that the use of small round buoys not currently allowed is also warranted. The amended regulation will allow for the use of ball buoys no smaller than 45 inches in circumference, which is about 14 or 15 inches in diameter. All actively worked lease ground will be required to be marked with at least two placards with the leaseholder's initials. Also, clarification for alternative marking allowances by the chief engineer, which is Benny Stagg or myself, where exceptional circumstances exist shall be added. Since the changes in this regulation will be designated new marking requirements, we're also recommending an effective date of January 1st to allow the leaseholders the opportunity to learn of and implement the new requirements. Our plan, if this is approved by the commission, is to send out a letter to all leaseholders prior to January 1st so that they'll be aware of the new requirements. And with that, I'd like to go right to 20-290 pertaining to the marking of oyster ground. What I'd like to do is just go through some of the changes. Some of them are really minor, but in the preamble, the change would be, while all leased oyster grounds are not required to be marked at all times, it is the intent of this chapter to ensure that when the ground is actively used for shellfish propagation and or harvest, the lease corners and the boundary lines or active work areas are properly and accurately delineated and safe navigation is maintained. So that's a little bit of a change there. The only other major change is some wordsmithing by our attorney, and then the effective date would be January 1st, 2016. And under definitions, active work areas means those areas inside a lease where active planting and or active harvesting is being conducted, or an area where agriculture structures are placed within a lease. Agriculture structures means devices such as cages, trays, nets, etc., used to contain and or protect shellfish. Lease boundary lines means the projected lines between lease corners. Lease corners means boundary lease corners as depicted on the plat of record of the lease. And then under general information, 290-20 general, leased oyster planting ground can be marked at any time and shall be marked if the oyster planting ground is being actively planted or harvested and or where agriculture structures are present on the lease. No active planting upon or harvesting from the lease shall be authorized unless the lease has been properly marked and the lease corners identified in accordance with the marking provisions of this chapter. If agriculture structures are deployed on leased or oyster planting ground, the lessee must properly mark and identify the lease boundary or the active work area where agriculture structures are placed in accordance with the marking provisions of this chapter. Under methods and manners of marking, it's 20-29030, A, marking requirements. When leased oyster planting ground is marked, the corners and boundary leases or lines or the active work areas within the lease shall be marked with markers or buoys and shall be marked in a manner that does not create any unnecessary restrictions to navigation. A1, corner markers. Corners that are marked shall have a maximum of 3 markers per corner. Now, some of the questions that have come up through our public interest review here was questioning if you have multiple leases and having one corner in common, is it 3 corners or does each one of the existing leases get 3 corners? And our interpretation of that is each lease gets 3 corner stakes. And some of the rationale there is if you've got to put a placard on it and you put a placard on somebody else's stakes, you're probably going to upset somebody. If you have to pull out a stake and it's not your stake, you're going to upset somebody. So we just felt the easiest way was to allow the single corner that has multiple leases to it to have 3. Okay. And under A2, this has been changed. We originally just had a line stake every 150 feet, no less than 150 feet. But because of comments that we've received from industry and the public, we now are recommending a boundary line markers. Individual line markers shall be set at intervals no more than 600 feet apart and may be placed at intervals no less than 150 feet apart. And the rationale behind that is if you have a 250-acre application and it's a square, you only have 4 corners. They could be 2,000, 3,000 feet apart, and by the old regulation, you wouldn't have to have a stake in between. So how would you know if you're on your ground or slide off of somebody else's? So the recommendation is at least one every 600 feet and no less than 150. Active work area markers. Areas where agriculture structures are being used shall be marked in conformance with Section B of the regulation as required in 20-335-10. Marking of the corners, boundary lines, or other or active work areas within the lease shall constitute a valid marking for enforcement purposes. Under B, description of markers, and this is dealing, B1 is dealing with stakes mainly. We're changing this to when stakes are used for corner lease corners markers, lease boundary markers, and or active work area markers within a lease, they shall have a diameter of no greater than 2 inches if solid, and inside diameter no greater than 2 inches if hollow. And the rationale behind that is PVC pipe, if you ask for a 2-inch PVC pipe, it's on the inside dimension, not the outside. And so in theory, under the old regulation, 2 inches the two-inch PVC pipe wouldn't meet the regulations. So that's why we put it in like that. And that's that height or diameter is based at mean low water or higher and shall extend at least 4 feet above mean high water, but no more than 6 feet above mean high water. Again, the high water mark has been in there before the 4 feet, but we decided to put a maximum on it so that you don't have somebody getting carried away with something that's 20 feet in the air there. And plus, if you get so much height up there, it's harder to keep it in place. Mm-hmm. The marker shall be marked with materials that's not so rigid as to harm boats if accidentally struck, such as PVC pipe, bamboo, white oak, cedar, and gum saplings. Metal pipes markers are prohibited, and this would also include rebar or any type of metal material. Under B2, which is dealing more with the buoys, we've changed some of that too. When canned buoys are used, they shall be constructed of suitable material, shall not be any larger than 6 inches in diameter, and shall be anchored to the bottom and are anchored with significant weight to prevent their moving during adverse weather conditions. Canned buoys shall be constructed and anchored as so to extend at least 4 feet above the waterline and no higher than 6 feet above the waterline. When ball buoys are used, they shall be constructed of suitable material, shall be no smaller than 45 inches in circumference, and shall be anchored to the bottom and are anchored with significant weights to prevent their moving in adverse weather conditions. Again, that's a new a request, and we thought this would be appropriate. Some of the problems in Ack Bay in Lynn Haven seems to be concerned about all the stakes, and we thought a low buoy might be more appropriate. Again, it's the minimum size would be between 14 and 15 inches in diameter, and the cost I looked up online seems to be about $30 for a buoy like that. And B3, least oyster grain, of which shellfish propagation is occurring, shall have a minimum of 2 placards constructed of durable material along at least 2 sides of the lease and active work area, and each placard shall have at least 4 feet above, be placed at least 4 feet above mean high water, depicting the initials of the leaseholder, and shall conform to the dimensions established by the commissioner. This is a change that happened. It's been kind of a moving target for us, but because of the input, we've also changed no person shall dredge or scrape his oyster planting ground unless he is in confirmation with 28.2515 of the Code of Virginia to include the marking requirements contained therein. Oyster ground lease corner markers, boundary line markers, and active work areas may be marked with 2-inch white reflective tape, white reflective paint, or white phosphorescent paint. If the lease is bisected or bordered along a Virginia Department of Health Division of Shellfish Sanitation Area condemnation line, such a line marker shall be marked with 2-inch yellow reflective tape, yellow reflective paint, or yellow phosphorescent paint. One of the questions that came up with the marking of the condemned line was seasonally condemned. Do they have to mark the seasonally condemned area? And our thought on that was, as long as it's condemned, it has to be marked. If it's seasonally condemned, there's a period that it's not condemned, so it doesn't have to be marked during that period of time. But when it's in effect, it has to be marked. In our maintenance under 20-290-40, when oyster planting ground is marked, suitable stakes and markers shall be kept by the leasee in their proper place at all times so as to conform accurately to the original boundary survey. Any condemned line with the lease and or to accurately mark the active work areas within the lease, should such stakes or markers be removed, knocked down, or be carried away, the leasee shall promptly have them replaced in their proper location and in conformance with the method and manner of marking contained within this regulation. Removal of stakes, it shall be unlawful for any person to intentionally or knowingly injure, remove, replace, any boundary oyster stake, range monument, signal beacon, post, buoy, or any other thereof erected to designate, locate, survey, or map any shellfish grounds other than the leaseholder, their agent, and or employee, and or commission staff. And the next is the exception, which basically gives the chief engineer may approve an alternate plan for the proper marking of any oyster planting ground boundary or active work area upon request by the leasee when he finds exceptional circumstances exist. In such a case, the chief engineer shall direct the leaseholder where to place the appropriate markers. That covers a lot of sentence right there. It basically gives Benny or myself or whoever will follow the opportunity to make a decision on a case-by-case basis. So that's the end of 20-290.
Hank, would you do us a favor here and just hit the highlights of the regulation changes in the aquaculture structures?
On the aquaculture? Oh, sure. Be happy to. We're asking to add a definition for the aquaculture structure that will match the one in 20 or 290, so they'll be the same definition. Proposed amendment also add a requirement to identify the area where such structures are placed, with place cards to warrant the public of the type of activity in the marked area. We plan on specifying the placards to be a minimum size of 12 inches by 12 inches and not 12 by 18, which is in your packet. And we're recommending at the end a penalty that will be the same as in 290. There was no penalty in the original 335 regulation. So for all practical purposes, that regulation was worthless.
Yep.
So we're asking to do that. And we're recommending approval of both amended regulations.
The aquaculture structure changes also gives the chief engineer some discretion.
Yes, same. I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay.
I'm here to try to answer any questions. All I have. I can go through that regulation, but you wanted to cover it.
No, I think
I'm
we
good
hit,
with that.
I think we hit the highlights on that there. Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Ballard.
Can you give a quick summary of feedback we've received, a description of the process, how many people have been involved, how long this has taken to get to this point?
I guess we started
about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, about a year and a half ago, and it's been an ongoing process. We tried to get some legislation through that got bogged down in other legislation. It just didn't happen. It's taken a year and a half or so. We've had, three different committees evaluate this and make recommendations. We've received, I believe, four or five emails and letters asking or requesting different changes, and we've made some of those changes in here. And as I was saying, it was an ever-going change up till this morning, actually.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Badger. This is a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard on this matter, either pro or con? Please come forward. You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir, I do.
Please state your name for the record.
It's Michael Norman. I'm an aquaculturist in Virginia Beach, working the grounds out there in Broad Bay. I've got my biology degree from ODU back in 1993, I believe it was, and since 1994, I've been in the aquaculture industry. Previously, I grew blue crawfish for the aquarium trade in a land-based system, and since 2012, the commission granted me some ground out in Broad Bay, which I've been working ever since. I do believe there's a necessity for signage out there on the aquaculture grounds where people are working. I do feel, though, that this signage is to inform mariners that are operating in the area, both commercial and recreational, that there's, you know, a reason to operate with caution in the area. And I think that this proposed legislation with the verbiage of aquaculture structures on the signage doesn't really address the issue at hand. I think it is sort of, detrimental, since it may encourage two-legged predators, which are the greatest predator that we have in the aquaculture industry, which could have an impact on the farmer as well as an economic impact, since these animals will never get to market and generate the tax base that that we see that we could have. So I just ask that you simply address the issue of the verbiage that is on the signage there. Also, since going through 20-290-10, and it does state that safe navigation is maintained, in Section 2, I found on my ground that it's hard to create a can buoy that is 4 foot above mean high water with a max of 6 feet above mean high water with that 6-inch diameter buoy. Since the 14-inch approximately or 45-inch in circumference ball buoy is being considered, I ask that potentially the definition of can buoy be changed from something that's not 6 inches in diameter. As I said, my experience out there on the water is that it's hard to get something 4 to 6 feet above the water when you have such a small diameter at the water surface. Also, in Section 3 of 20-290-10, toward the end of it there, we're stating that we're able to use white reflective paint or white fluorescent paint. I just don't think that that's very high visibility paint when you're out there on the water. And that's all I have. I do have basic outline of what I spoke about here.
Okay.
I appreciate your time.
Perfect. Any questions? Any questions from the commission?
So if your point about the verbiage, what would you rather see?
I'd rather say something that actually addresses what the issue is here, which is to make it safe navigation for both commercial and recreational boaters, such as danger zone, caution, something to that effect. I mean, aquaculture structures, not to many of us in the room here probably, but there are some people out there in the general public that would see that as an advertisement for free, easy access to shellfish. And to me, that doesn't really address what the issue at hand is here, which is to maintain safe navigation to anyone operating in the area.
Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to testify? Please come forward. You hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record.
Johnson, in the oyster business, I'm not an aquaculturist per se, with the cage, that intensive type of aquaculture. The one question I do have, or the one suggestion I would like to respectfully make, is in the distance between the stakes, there has always been a minimum distance where they couldn't be any closer than 150, and I know staff or engineering has suggested that they also be a stake every 600 feet. I would like to see that reduced to 300 feet. That on some of the smaller leases, there wouldn't have to be any line stakes because the corners are closer than 600 feet. I don't think 300 feet would be a hazard to navigation. I think anybody should be able to navigate within and out of a 300-foot distance. There is an old saying that good fences make good neighbors, and in the oyster business, that is very, very true. I think it would be an asset to the private side, whether your lease joined another private individual. If your lease joined the public, it would give the MPOs a little better delineation as to where that line was and make their job much easier. And other than that, I don't have any other comments on it. And I do hope that you will adopt that recommendation. It wasn't in the proposal or wasn't written in the proposal, but that each leasee gets corner stakes. That would be most helpful. The more stakes you have in the corner, the better it's delineated. And again, the better people can tell where it is and the better the officers that are patrolling the area can tell where it is. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Anyone else? Anyone else wish to give some input on this regulation that's being considered? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Let me lead off just for a little bit more, back up a little bit what Chad was asking about here. This has been under discussion to one form or another for about a year and a half. There's been a lot of work the staff has done, and I commend staff for their great patience on this. It's to a degree threading a needle from my perspective here. We want the industry to be good fences make good neighbors, but we also don't want a fence that's so extensive that it interferes with butters or causes user conflicts. The verbiage of the signage has been a discussion issue now for at least a year and a half, if not significantly longer. Staff has come up with this as a kind of a middle ground. Aquaculture structures does not say stay out. It does not say danger. It doesn't say stay away from here. It doesn't say private property. It doesn't say no trespassing. It's not necessarily an invitation to come and steal here, but boater safety is a significant concern as well out there. So I wanted to kind of put that in perspective that there's been a lot of work that's gone into this. If you guys see some other tweaks that are necessary, that'd be great, but this is necessary, I believe, or something very close to this is necessary. So I'm going to get off my soapbox now. Mr. Ballard.
I echo the comments on the amount of work that has gone into this, both on staff's part as well as industry's part. A lot of stakeholders coming together, and it has it is threading a needle, and you have a lot of different viewpoints to consider. I think we've come very, very close to getting it right. I do have a concern that a large portion of the industry is at a conference out west right now, and up to this morning I've been receiving different communications questioning things, as well as I've heard from one person that Mr. Stagg has been telling people out there that the wording in this would not be final today. And I don't understand that, but I think there's a lot of confusion going on the industry's part right now.
That's not correct.
Yeah.
That's not correct. I talked to him last night at 8:30, and he was saying that there wasn't any major concern out there, except that some of them wanted to continue this so they could be here, but they didn't have any opposition to what was being proposed.
Okay.
They just wanted to be here.
Yeah.
But Mr. Stagg did not have anyone say that they wanted to change anything to speak of. That was last night. Now, you talked this morning, and things may have changed.
I did receive one notification this morning saying that I had requested they send me exactly what they wanted in the language so we could put it before the commission, and he informed me that Ben told him it was unnecessary, that this could be changed. I don't know if that's a miscommunication, but
if the commission votes, it's a done deal.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That just seems a little unlike Benny.
Right.
Any other discussion? Mr. Ballard, let me address that point. There's been a number of members of the industry here that are at the Interstate Shellfish Sanitation Conference. That's true. And I've had phone calls over the last several weeks in particular from a significant number of them. And I'll echo what Mr. Badger has said, that I haven't heard anybody after a discussion say, well, I don't like this, I don't approve of this, and none of them have told me of any changes that they would recommend. The only changes that have come from Mr. Erskine, who's at the same conference, couldn't be here together today, and his changes have been incorporated into this. So I understand people wanted to be here on this, but I can't see a need to hold this up, absent anybody actually saying what they would change. I hope I'm relating. Mr. Ballack.
Yeah, and I completely understand that. This has been a very, very long process, and I feel like we've given ample time for people to participate in the process. And I'm not sure we're ever going to come up with a perfect solution. And I like the flexibility we've built in here to have the chief engineer be able to come up with an alternate plan. I just think everybody should be aware that everyone's not exactly finalized and everyone's not on this 100% on board with this yet. I think we're close.
Oh, you mean the wording for the placard?
Wording for the placard, the minimum distances, as well as I've still heard objections about actually having the placards. But I think there's still a lot of confusion out there.
Ms. Haney?
We're looking at an effective date of January 1. Is there any reason why we couldn't hear this in the December meeting, just in fairness?
The reason was that the General Assembly and the Senate Committee that handles agriculture and natural resources requested that the agency and the committees address this issue, study this issue, and issue a report back to them as of November 1st. November 1st is next week. If we delay this, we have no report to the General Assembly except to say that this continues to be under the discussion. My argument has been that is, in effect, asking the General Assembly to solve these issues through legislation as opposed to the many and varied and lengthy discussions we've had in industry, with industry, and the Shellfish Task Force, the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee, the Regulation Review Committee, and back to them, all of them repeatedly. So if you want to push this off, that's perfectly fine. My great concern is that invites a legislative solution that may not be to anybody's liking. Mr. Ballack.
I'm not sure we necessarily need to push things off, but I think what most industry members would ask for is that we recognize that this may not be the final go-round of this, that we can take a vote on it now, realizing we're 90% of the way there, but we all be prepared to examine it a little further in the future.
Yeah, I'd say that's perfectly fair. I mean, the commission can reopen any regulation at any point, and this particular provision wouldn't go into effect until January 1st. We still have a December meeting here in which we could tweak something if that was the will of the commission. So I think we can move forward, and any tweaks that are necessary, we can accomplish them at the December meeting. But if you really want, you know, we can push it all off to the middle of the December 8th, December 9th meeting, second Tuesday. It's up to you all, Mr. Taggart.
Well, I'd rather take care of it now myself. I think we've come this far, we might as well finish the task at hand. And I don't think anything we do is ever going to be totally perfect, to be honest with you. I find that the comments that I've heard have at first knee-jerked and saying, hey, I don't like this or that, but when they examine it a little further, people have been all right with it. I think the biggest thing that I've heard is they'll hope for reasonable enforcement of these laws that we have here rather than an aggressive enforcement. You know, ice and wind and tides, et cetera, can make it so stakes are knocked down. Issues like that can arise, but that reasonable enforcement will allow folks to comply with the law in a normal fashion. And then also on the other side, I've heard from people who are on creeks like Plantation and Cherrystone Creek who can quickly point out stakes that have been out of compliance for some time and are hazards at this time today that are not – nothing's happening with them. I myself can tell you about stakes that you can only see on an absolute low tide that are jagged that I think are safety problems right now, you know. So I just think reasonable enforcement goes a long way. I'm ready to vote.
Some other discussion? I'll turn to Mr. Ballack. You want to delay this or do you want to vote on this now?
I would make a motion to approve staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Ballack. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. France. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. Any abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you all very much.